Good morning, everyone. If you'll please stand with us. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you will take my place. That you will bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of his brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Shaken, we will not be shaken,
we will not be shaken. For we trust in our God, and through His unveiling love, we will not be shaken. We will not be shaken. We will not be shaken. Though the battle rages, we will stand in the fight. Though the armies rise up against us on all sides, we will not be shaken. We will not be shaken. We will not be shaken. For in the hour of our darkest day, we will not tremble, we won't be afraid. Hope is rising like the light of dawn. Our God is for us, He has overcome. For we trust in our God, and through His unfailing love, we will not be shaken. We will not be shaken. And we will not be shaken. For we trust in our God, and through His unfailing love, we will not be shaken, and we will not be shaken, no, we will not be shaken. Against Him will fall, for our God is stronger, and He can do all things. No higher name we can call, for Jesus is greater, we can do all things. All those against Him will fall, for our God is stronger, He can do all things. No higher name we can call, for Jesus is greater, we can do all things. For we trust in our God, and through His unfailing, we will not be shaken. For we trust in our God, and through His unfailing love, we will not be shaken. We will not be shaken. We will not be shaken.
Psalm 62, beginning with verse 5. For God alone, my soul, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock. My refuge is God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Amen. Amen, amen. Well, good morning. Welcome to Northside. We're glad that you are here. While you're standing, take a moment and greet those, welcome those around you. All right, if you'll return to your seats, you may be seated. While you're returning to your seats, just want to once again welcome you to Northside Baptist Church. We're glad that you're here. If this is your first time with us, welcome. We are thrilled to have you, blessed that you would be here and to be our guest. And we want to, we just want to thank you for coming. We also want you to know that we want to help you, serve you, love on you any way that we can. And the easiest way to do that is if you would let us know that this is your first time. And so there's a couple ways you can do that. One, there's a QR code right here in the bulletin. You can just scan it. It's under the connection card section. You just scan it with your camera, fill out information about yourself online. That's safe and secure. Or you can fill out a connection card that is located out there at the welcome desk. We just want to pray for you, and that helps if we know who you are. When you leave, Pastor Gary will be out there in the foyer. If this is your first time here, just go out there and just say, hey, this is my first time, and he'll welcome you. And again, we're glad that you're here. Also, if there's a way that we can pray for you, even if you're a member, if there's a way we can pray for you, you can scan that code, and there's a place on there. You can type in a prayer request, and we'll be able to do that. Just a couple of announcements before we spend some time in prayer together. We have an opportunity to live sent as a church on April 13th, so that's coming up this Saturday at the Georgia Baptist Children's Home at 9 a.m. In Palmetto. We need you to sign up. We need to know how many people are coming. We need to know what we can do when we get there. So at the NBC Connect board, on your way out, take a left, and please sign up if you plan on coming to help. It'll be a great time of serving and just loving on them and the work that they do at the Georgia Baptist Children's Home. Also want to draw your attention to our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. That was in the month of March. Our goal was $8,000. We have raised $10,656. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for your generosity. And if you have not given, you can still give today. The envelopes are still there. You can give one more Sunday. Just make sure you use an Annie Armstrong Easter offering envelope for that. So the praying the scripture this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. It will appear on the screen. Let me read that. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. We're in this section in 1 Peter where Peter is really just talking a lot about suffering, the suffering that we go through as Christians. So we're going to continue that this morning. And so I just want you to take a moment right where you are to pray through that verse, however the Spirit of God prompts you to pray. Maybe you're in a season of suffering, or maybe you know somebody who is, and maybe you just want to glorify God in your prayer time. However the Lord would lead you to pray, you take a moment to pray right where you are, and then I will pray for us, and then we'll continue to worship together as we sing about God's amazing grace. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, every time we gather as the people of God here at Northside, we want to lift up your name. And we believe we do that best when your word is at the center of all that we do. So every week when we gather, we want to sing the scriptures. We want to sing the word of God, proclaiming these truths through music. We want to read the scriptures as we just did. We want to pray the scripture as we're doing right now. And then, Father, we want to preach the scriptures week in and week out. So, Lord God, I pray right now, Lord, for Pastor Gary as he will come in a few minutes, as he will open your word, the living word of God that's breathed out by God. And he will teach through these very important scriptures here in 1 Peter chapter 4 that deal with this theme, this topic of suffering as a Christian, Lord, we are thankful this morning that as we think about the world in which we live, as we think about disease, as we think about death, as we think about suffering, that we're living in a world that is not governed ultimately by nature. Nature is not sovereign over disease and death. We are thankful that evil spirits, though they are at work, though spiritual warfare is real, that evil spirits are not sovereign and governing over disease and death. But the reality this morning, wherever we are, is what is governing disease and death is a good God, a good heavenly Father, a gracious God who has already defeated death, who has triumphed over all that is evil through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And oh Father, we are just waiting and we are longing for that day in which you return and you gather and call your people home, in a day in which there will be no more suffering, when all tears and pain will be removed from our life. But Father, until that day comes, oh God, may we be men and women who entrust our souls to you, men and women who are not ashamed in our suffering, but rather we glorify you. Father, we thank you for your grace. It is your amazing grace, grace that is greater than our sin, that allows us to be here, that allows us to enter into your presence, that allows us to lift up praises to you. So, Father, as we sing these two well-known hymns, may we be so thankful this morning for your grace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Would you stand? Let's worship together.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful, glorious day. Thank you for bringing us here, Father, to worship and praise and honor you, Father. I pray that the offerings about to receive will go to continue to do glory for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Kindergartners, time for children's church. Yeah, for those of you that are saying, aw, you're stuck with me. All right, you guys got me? All right. If you have a copy of God's Word, I would encourage you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to be reading verses 12 through 16. Please stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. I'm going to be reading from the ESV. Verse 12, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name." You may be seated. Can we escape life and sufferings? Can we escape it? Can we run from it? You see, we didn't choose to be born. We were not consulted about living. There's nothing you can do to stop living. We didn't choose where to be born. We didn't choose what color of skin we have. There's no escaping life. Oh, you may say, I can just commit suicide. That doesn't get you out of life. You only kill the body. Your soul and your spirit is eternal. It lives on. So you cannot escape by suicide. Yes, we are required to live. So how do you face life? What resources do you have to call upon when the pressures come, and they will come? When the crises of life come, and they will come? And the difficulties of life come? What do you do? What do you have? Well, if you're a Christian, if you know Jesus Christ, well, I'll be real honest. You don't have anything to worry about. You don't. Because you have a Savior and a Lord to protect you. So we agree that life's challenges, trials, difficulties are inevitable. They are. For those of you that are younger and are saying, I'm not quite sure about that. Well, after the service, you can just turn over. I'll call them gray heads, because I've got a bit of gray in me. You turn to a gray head, and you ask them, is life all cut and dry? Is it easy? Many Christians in the world today do not know the life-threatening danger that comes with believing in Jesus Christ. We have gotten used to being free from persecution. It seems like the way things must be. If you go through the scriptures and you come across the Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 16, you read of where Paul is insulted, is persecuted, and they find out that he is a Roman citizen. And they're scared because he's a Roman citizen. Because if you were to take on a Roman citizen, in fact, you were taking on Rome. No one, if you are on a Roman road, was to be persecuted. As Christians, we sort of think that way, living in America. We think the way of life is free. We are in no ways capable of being persecuted or incapable of going through suffering. After the stoning of Stephen, the early church scattered about throughout beyond Jerusalem. The disciples initially preached the gospel to the Jews. The gospel broke free from radical and ethnic bias, and then it went to the Gentiles. Gentiles came to faith in Christ. The church in Jerusalem, then what they did is they sent Barnabas to investigate and see what was happening. And so we see the Lord at work in Antioch. Barnabas brings Saul into the city. They minister to that young church. And we get in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, we get this footnote, just this, and you've heard it before. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. The disciples didn't call themselves Christians. People in Antioch called them Christians. It wasn't a compliment. Christian means follower of Christ. If you read alongside that in Acts, you get what is called an Herodian. A Herodian was a follower of Herod the Great. To be a Christian was to be a member of the Christ party. The term Christian associates the disciple with the title of Christ, not the name of Jesus. Believing Jesus to be the Christ, disciples live in devotion to Him. You're a Christian. Do you live in devotion to Him? A Christian's devotion was so obvious that the unbelieving community nicknamed them Christians. The name stuck and it spread. Have you ever wondered, Christian, have you ever wondered, if you were put in a situation, the hour of your final trial, and somebody were to ask you at that point in time, are you a Christian? And that answer would determine whether you would live or die. How would you respond? The gunman has you in his sights and asks, are you a Christian? Here is a strong word to give you hope, that you may do better than you think. When Paul was arrested, he stood trial against King Agrippa. Instead of defending himself, Paul preached Christ. In Acts chapter 26, verse 28, Agrippa asks Paul this, in a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian? By the way, this wasn't a sincere question. It was full of irony, full of sarcasm, full of contempt. He was basically saying, how dare this prisoner think he can preach a sermon and persuade me to be a Christian? We go into that very next verse, verse 29 of Acts chapter 26. This is what Paul says. Whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am. He's talking about becoming a Christian. And then he accepts for these chains. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16 is the third and final time the word Christian is used in the New Testament. Pastor Aaron prayed through it, read through it. Here I say it again, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. If you are a Christian, you belong to Christ. You are not your own. You are not your own. The catechism I take the students through, you are not your own, but you belong to a great King. You belong to Christ, you believe in Christ, you behave like Christ. To live in such a way invites, in fact, it invokes suffering. True Christians persevere in faith in Christ when suffering comes. And friends, it's not a matter of if, But when? Suffering is a reality of life. It is a reality. Christian suffering is a special category of suffering. To suffer as a Christian is to suffer for Christ, like Christ. Two things. You cannot suffer as a Christian if you are not a Christian. But you can be a Christian and never suffer as a Christian. So have you suffered as a Christian? Have you suffered as a Christian? Peter addresses the subject of suffering for the last time in this letter. His focus is not on what or how these elect exiles will suffer. He is concerned about the reasons for their suffering and their response to it. That's what he's dealing with. This is not an exhaustive study on what suffering is. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 16 explains the nature of Christian suffering, what it is. So I'm going to deal with two things, joyful suffering and righteous suffering. Verse 12 of chapter 4 introduces a new section of the letter with a term of affection. He says, beloved. So Peter will confront the saints with the harsh realities of Christian suffering. But they do not suffer because they are unloved. The apostle loved these saints, even though he hadn't met them. Moreover, the Lord knew and loved them. So in a spirit of love, Peter's tone intensifies in verses 12 and 13. And he gives two sets of instructions to suffering Christians. He says, do not be surprised. And then he says, do not be sorrowful. When you read through that, do not be surprised. Do not be sorrowful. Religious persecution. For the first point, for the first instruction, do not be surprised. Religious persecution was commonplace among Jewish people. But it may have come of some surprise to the Gentile believers. Some believers at that point may have subscribed to some sort of a prosperity theology. You know, since I've come to saving faith in Christ, there's nothing bad that's going to happen to me. In fact, I'm going to benefit from this. So some of them may have believed that. Or maybe these saints believed the previous passages, the chapters in 1 Peter, where it says they had a living hope in the risen Savior. So as a result, some of them were surprised by suffering. Verse 12 says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Now, surprise indicates more than just an initial shock and awe. It suggests disillusionment that results in bitter resentment. And Peter says, do not be surprised when the fiery trials come. See, this term, I want to say, foreshadows the persecution that was to come. Pastor Aaron has referred to this in the past. Nero, the emperor at that stage, would blame Christians for the burning of Rome. During this imperial suffering, Christians would be set on fire as torches to light up the Roman parties and events that would happen during days. The term is a graphic description, fiery trials, graphic description of suffering. Picture precious metal put in a fire or in a furnace. It will reveal the precious metal. It will purify the precious metal. It will strengthen it. The process of suffering burns. It burns. The purpose of suffering benefits. Verse 12 affirms this by saying, the fiery trial comes to test you. T teachers test students. Suffering tests Christians. In the classroom of suffering, we Christians grade our own papers. The Lord knows your grade. He wants you to see if you are passing or failing. Fiery trials will come to test you. Do not think or act as though something strange were happening to you. It's a great quote I heard from a commentary about this. Christian suffering is an invited guest, not an unwelcome stranger. The Lord sends suffering for your good and His glory. Do not be surprised. First instruction. Second, do not be sorrowful. So verse 12 is a prohibition. Verse 13 is an exhortation. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. Unprepared students, take tests anxiously. Amen. Prepared students, take tests confidently. What student rejoices at testing time? This is how Christians should respond to suffering. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." Why rejoice? Well, verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 4 says it. In as much as you share Christ's sufferings. To suffer as a Christian is to share in Christ's sufferings. Let that sink in. We do not share Christ's redemptive sufferings. We do not share Christ's, we do share Christ's righteous sufferings. First, John chapter 15, verse 20, the Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 20 says, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." The world persecutes Christians when it sees Christ in you. Christian suffering, friends, is Christian fellowship. It draws us closer to Christ. When it happens, what does Peter say? Rejoice. Rejoice. That you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Again, the Apostle Paul calls us heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him, in order that we may also be glorified with Him. So we rejoice, Christian. We rejoice, knowing future triumphant joy is coming. Godly joy now leads to greater joy later. There will be glory after this. There will be. Joyful suffering, righteous suffering. To suffer as a Christian is to suffer for the right reasons. For the right reasons. Verse 14. It presents a specific example of Christian suffering. This is what it says. If you are insulted for the name of Christ. Their suffering had not become a physical suffering or abuse yet. It was a verbal one. But it was more than people talking about them, insulting or reviling. That word, which has been used before in 1 Peter, is a character assassination. It speaks the words to defame, to disrespect, to dishonor. This term is used in Mark chapter 15 for the crowds who mocked Jesus on the cross. Christians will be reviled. will be rebuked. Will be rebuked for the name of Jesus. So verse 14 says, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, and then it says this, you are blessed. The world insults Christians for Christ's sake. The Father blesses Christians for Christ's sake. Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 through 12 says, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus promised future blessing when you are insulted for his name. 1 Peter announces a present tense blessing. You are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. In the Old Testament, the glory of God rested upon the tabernacle. When the world insults you, brothers and sisters in Christ, the glory of God rests on you through the Spirit of Christ. It is God during those moments who will give you strength. It is God during those moments who will give you comfort. It is God during those moments who will give you assurance when you suffer for Christ's sake. Verse 15, it records a strong contrast. It says to avoid sinful suffering. Verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. This list falls into two categories, criminal offenses and social offenses. Murder and stealing violates the two of the Ten Commandments. They are civil crimes. Do not retaliate with homicide or pilfering. Don't do it. An evildoer is a wrongdoer whose life is marked by immoral activities. Don't be immoral. But then there's also that last word there, that social offense, a meddler. The Greek term refers to a busybody, a mischief maker who watches over the affairs of others. Don't do it. Now, by the way, there's no such thing as a perfect church. Amen? But we should strive to be a godly church. You cannot control the reality of suffering. You can control the reason for suffering. Avoid sinful suffering, but also avoid shameful suffering. Verse 16 says, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. You can do wrong and suffer. You can do right and suffer. If you suffer as a Christian, that verse says, do not be ashamed. There are many things we should be ashamed of. In the Old Testament, specifically Jeremiah chapter 6 and 8, he calls out Israel for not knowing how to blush. He calls them out. Are we a people who don't know right from wrong? Who don't know how to blush when it comes up to doing things that are wrong? It is a double sin to do wrong and feel no shame. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19 describes the enemies of the cross of Christ as those who glory in their shame. Do not be ashamed of any trouble you get into following Jesus. Glorify God in that moment. Acts chapter 5, verse 41 says, "Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name." See, so this encouragement from Peter says that in the hour of unusual threat, whether it's an insult or whether it's death, there will be a spirit of glory and of God resting on us. Doesn't that mean that God gives a special help in the hour of crisis to those who suffer because they are Christians? I don't mean he's absent from our sufferings. I just mean that Peter went out of his way to say that those who suffer for the name of Christ will experience a special resting on them of the spirit and glory of God. And you may be going through something like that right now. And understand this, you have the Spirit of God resting on you. Words cannot describe what it is that you're going through, and it is you have rest and peace and hope. So it is my prayer that this would be your experience when trials come, and it's not a matter of if, but when, and it will come. There will be resources of endurance in that moment that we do not have at any other time. And you're like asking the question right now, how is it that I'm going to deal with it? And Peter is trying to say, take heart. Will you rejoice in that hour? You will rejoice if you entrust your soul to a faithful Creator. You see, He created you. He knows you. He created your soul for His glory. He is faithful to that glory and to all who love it and live for it. Now is the time, friends. During those moments of suffering, now is the time to show where your treasure is. Is it in the Lord Jesus Christ, or is it in yourself? Now is the time to shine with the glory of God. So trust Him. Keep on rejoicing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings, Lord, we share with many people around the world having faith in You. Lord, we ask that You would help us, that You would guide us as we go about this day, this week, this month, Lord. And we don't know where everyone is with regards to life. Some people may be going by just fine. And PG's just put a bummer on the day. But for some, Lord, some people are going through hardship. They don't know whether they turn left or right, whether they'll be met with suffering. And I ask, Lord, that You would help them. I pray for our family here at Northside and for those around the world that You would be a very present help even amongst their fiery trials. We pray that many may turn to You through this, for You, Lord, are the God of peace. We pray for our brothers and sisters enduring fiery trials whom we have never met around the world. Lord, we have a spiritual kinship with them, but we ask, Lord, that You would encourage and strengthen them today. I pray that these words as we sing, Lord, would encourage the heart. I pray that if there is somebody that is brought to our minds that we can pray for as they go through difficult times, times of suffering, Lord, I pray that we would not hesitate, but we would pray. We would send them a letter. Lord, we would send them a message. Lord, I pray that You would help them. We pray for all suffering through a fiery trial, regardless of what it is. May they, Lord, may Your people have eyes of hope and of faith to see the glorious truth, that we would rejoice to the extent that we partake with Christ's sufferings. That when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. So, Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you'll please stand. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away. As wounds are spared the chosen one, bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Just a couple of announcements to draw your attention to. One is on April 20th at 6 p.m. right here in the sanctuary. Our youth are going to be performing a play, What's in a Name. I want to encourage you to come be here for that. We have an IF gathering for you ladies that's coming up on Saturday, April 27th. If you have any questions, see Deanna and Robin, and I believe it says sign up is beginning today. Is that correct? Are we signing up today? All right, so you can sign up for that. You'll notice in here about men's ministry is hosting a camping event. It says father, son. We want all fathers and sons to come, but if you don't have a son, you can still come camping. I don't want you to misread that and think, well, I just have daughters or my kids are grown, I can't come. Men, you come. Whether you have sons or not, come. If you have a son, bring them. And one more thing I want to draw your attention to is our men's and women adult Bible studies that begins this Wednesday. You do not want to miss this. If you are not serving somewhere on Wednesday nights, you want to be part of this. You'll see the ladies are going to be doing, they're going to work through some of the I Am statements of Jesus, some of His miracles. Having studied the I Am statements before, you will greatly benefit from that. So be here, ladies, for that. And then the men, we're going to be looking at spiritual warfare. And I want to encourage you men to be here for that as well. I would love to see both of our ladies' and men's rooms just packed. Like we're sitting and there's sardines, right? I would love to see that many people showing up for these studies. You will greatly benefit, so be here for that. We have all our normal evening activities tonight, so I encourage you to come back for that. Appreciate greatly Pastor Gary, who's going to be out there shaking hands, rightly dividing the Word of God. Our family had a chance to get away this past week. Probably the most relaxing, restful vacation I've had. And what makes it even better is knowing I don't have to preach when I get back. Because it would not be relaxing knowing that weight was on you. So knowing that Gary was preaching and I just trusted him to rightly divide God's word, greatly, greatly appreciate that. Before we end by saying the Great Commission together, I'm going to be available for a few minutes right up here in the front. This is something Gary and I are trying to do. We're going to rotate that if you need prayer, you just need somebody to pray for you, and maybe during the last song you're not comfortable coming forward, I'm going to be here for several minutes. If you want prayer, if you need to talk about joining the church or baptism or being saved or in response to the message this morning, I'm available. Just come see me, and I would love to have a conversation with you and to pray for and with you. So if you'll stand, let's end as we have been doing for the last several months by saying the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, say it with me. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Church, he is with you. Go and live sent.